B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Wait a minute. This sounds interesting.
Oh. It is.
Don't make fun of me.
Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hour number three here, Felger and Mass. Jim Murray's alongside. Joe Murray here to give you headlines. Going to continue with this Patriots discussion. Again, Murray pointing out, in the last couple of weeks, all this quarterback movement, Jimmy Garoppolo still in San Francisco, doesn't seem like many people want him. Again, he had surgery on his shoulder, but he's sort of stuck there now. That's the way it feels, is that he's stuck there. Baker Mayfield stuck in Cleveland because they have a new quarterback. Those guys' stock has dropped through the floor, which brings us to Mac Jones. The one thing all those three guys have in common is Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick drafted, developed Garoppolo. He wanted Baker Mayfield, if you remember, in 2018. He obviously now coaches Mac Jones. So is Mac Jones a long-term solution, a short-term solution? Can you even draw an analogy or comparison between those players in their situations? All sort of part of the discussion. And as it relates to Mac Jones, this question has popped into my head, as it has popped into the heads of a lot of people in recent days and weeks. But I would say, you know, especially since the start of free agency, looking back and knowing what we know now, and we're playing off of that Scott Pioli comment that we played a little while ago, which is the Patriots were really aggressive in free agency last year, and, you know, not a lot of teams were. It was a depressed market. They got good value on the contracts that they signed last year, which I don't even agree with, because Aguilar and Jonnu Smith are not good values. But that aside, knowing what we know now, what they spent last year versus what is happening on the market this year, would they have been better served to save some of that money, if not all of it, and gone out and put pieces in place this year and suffered a little bit more last year? Or, well, let me start with that. Would they have been better off doing it that way? Let me leave it at that first, Mark.
Yeah, I believe so, yeah. Because I think ultimately now,
so you would have been willing to live through, call it
another sub-500
okay.
year? Yes.
I just wanted to make that part clear.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry to cut you off.
Yeah, I think they would have been better served to kind of have a streamlined depth chart, a little bit thin, bring along Mac Jones a little bit slower, but you see some positive upper trajectory for your rookie quarterback, and then really start to build around him in year two. Because ultimately what they did, it wasn't enough. I think, again, the Rams now being the model, because I didn't believe in it, but now they've proven it works. But if you're going to spend and you're going to push all those chips in, you're really going to be willing to peel off other pieces, specifically first and second round draft picks, hit on those third and fourth round picks. And you really got to be better and more diligent in terms of, you know, who you find in free agency. You're going to hit on everyone? No, but you got to do better than, I don't know, just Kendrick Bourne and just Matthew Judon and just Hunter Henry. Like, I don't know, they hit on those three. The rest felt like all crap to me. So they ultimately did it with half measures last year. Yeah, you spent, but you should have maybe peeled off a little bit more in terms of your veterans and traded away some of your first-round picks, found more talent. They didn't do that. So the way it worked out, and now they feel like they're behind the eight ball the way that they are, they really should have stripped it down even further last year and built it up starting this year.
Joe?
Yeah, so I agree with you, Jim, but to answer your question, they had to go out and make an impact because of what Tom Brady did. They had to. They had all that cap space. Tom Brady just literally shoved it in their face, and they had to go out and make a splash. Because people thought, okay, you know, here we go, Belichick's back. But to go back to your take, Jim, they had Cam Newton as their quarterback. They thought Cam Newton could be someone that could lead. They drafted Jared Stidham and could have gotten other players. They brought Brian Hoyer back. So now that I'm thinking about it, does he evaluate quarterbacks that well? I don't know. Starting that's out there. But my whole thing is last year, they had to make a splash because of everything that happened with Tom Brady. Now, it's all behind him. Yeah, they went on a little losing streak at the end of the year and got bounced. But it's Bills got control of the organization again. And that's what bothers me. They should have tore it down when Cam Newton was here 2 years ago.
So that's kind of the rub, though. He's right. Like, it's easy for me to now say this in hindsight. Okay, yeah, you really should have stripped it down in 21. But because of what Brady did, he cornered them. They had to go spend the way that they did last year.
Well, so this is why it's a dilemma. Yeah. And let me add one more layer to it for you. And it was a well-thought-out question, Murray.
Yeah.
If I'll take a little credit myself.
This one marinated in the old take crock pot last
night?
Yeah,
no, it did. I had it on slow cook for about 3 or 4 days. And, it's like ribs. You have to slow cook them. So I will say the other element in this is Mac Jones. So as it turned out. So what the Patriots did is they did exactly what Joe said, and he's right. They made all those commitments. They did all that spending before they knew who their quarterback was going to be. So we can't sit here and say they did it for Mac Jones. They might have done it for Newton. They might have done it for Hoyer. Maybe they thought they were going to execute the trade for Garoppolo.
Or to Joe's point, maybe they just did it to do it because they had to have an answer post-Brady.
Okay, or maybe they thought it. But the point is they knew that they were going to have a quarterback who needed help.
Yeah.
Regardless
sure,
of who it was. So they said, we're going to have to build up the roster because Brady completely exposed us. Maybe it was going to be the kid in Houston, Davis Mills. Okay, could have been all of that. As it turned out, it was Jones. So given that we now know it was Jones, do we want Jones behind center going 5-12, taking a beating? And does that help his development, hurt his development? Like I'm introducing that part of the story too, because I would argue that, well, given that it ended up being Mac Jones, you could say, no, it was better to have a half-decent team around him. He was able to play a full season. He got the experience of a playoff game. He got the experience of some important late-season games. All in all, the kid did fine. Maybe even better than fine. I tend to call it fine. I don't think he was great, but as a rookie, he did well. He did okay. Did pretty well. So is Mac Jones better off now than he would have been if they had a really bad team last year? Or would Mac Jones have been fine either way, and now they could have put some real pieces around him?
Well, I mean, if you believe in his talent, then it really wouldn't have mattered, in my opinion. You don't want him to take a complete beating, but he did kind of at times last year with that offensive line. Look, if you believe in the talent, I don't think it should really matter. Like, do you look at Trevor Lawrence any differently, even though he had that horrible season last year playing for that idiot Urban Meyer before they fired him? I mean, he came along those last few games. The talent's still there.
Zach Wilson came along his injury, too.
Yeah, Zach Wilson, like, post-injury looked like, oh, I could see what they saw in this kid. So if the talent is what you believe it is and why you drafted that player that high, I don't think it should really matter.
I just wonder if they'd be better off with at least some of that cap money this year than they had a year ago. And I know we can look back at it and say, well, they signed X number of players. They hit on some, missed on others. That's always going to happen. The Jonnu Smith deal and the Nelson Agholor deal were busts. Smith was worse. Agholor wasn't quite as bad as Smith. Now, if those guys pan out in year two and we all look like a bunch of jackasses once, all this free agency lands.
Even other ones, Maz, that just add up. I mean, they weren't as big deals, but I don't know.
Godshaw was not great.
Jalen Mills.
Did Henry Anderson even play? I don't even remember.
Nope.
Yeah.
But the whole year two thing, though, like, let's give him credit. Danny Amendola was not good year one. Year two, he was better, and he got a big contract. I'm willing to give these guys another year. I just don't know if they make it out of camp.
Yeah, I don't know. I wonder how fans feel about it, knowing what we know now. And again, this could all change in the next year, because if Jonnu Smith all of a sudden plays and Agholor stays and he's better and the Patriots make a run this year, because I don't think it's over yet. As much as they've taken a beating, there's a lot of time left. And so you can still get guys on the free agent market. Who knows? Maybe you get lucky in the draft. Maybe there's actually a receiver for once that comes out of the draft and has an impact. Maybe Bill coaches it better than we think he's going to with Patricia and Joe Judge. And maybe they make the playoffs.
Okay, so I was going to say, define over. Like, you think it's people are going too far, like Jones and I do, or that unnamed Vegas tout saying that right now the Patriots are the 11th best team in the AFC.
I think people almost always go too far in the wake of stuff like this, and we did it last year too. And I said it at the time just so that we're consistent.
Oh, I'm surprised you haven't made "I was right about Jonnu Smith" t-shirts, Mez.
Okay, so now that I think of it, Murray, it's not a bad idea.
2 weeks.
Okay, so shortly after the spending frenzy last year, we started talking about it. I said, now that the sugar high is over, is Jonnu Smith really that good? Has he ever had, 80 catches? Or is Hunter Henry really all that good? And Nelson Aguilar, are these guys? So I said at the time, I think their pass catchers are overrated. I think it played out that way. Okay? But the point is, if it was true then, it could be true now that we could be overreacting to what the other teams are doing, too.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay? So I'm trying to be even-handed about it. And as you just pointed out a second ago, Valdez-Scantling from the Packers went to the Chiefs,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Oh, salary cap jail. Oh, no, that's why the Chiefs had to get rid of Tyreek Hill. There's nothing they can do now.
Uh-huh. Pats had him in here.
Yeah.
They wanted them. They said it was too rich.
3-year deal, $30 million, worth up to $36 million with Kansas City. Marquez Valdez-Scantling, reading here from Adam Schefter. He goes from the NFL's reigning MVP, Aaron Rodgers, to the NFL's former MVP, Patrick Mahomes.
Okay, so, but the point being, Jarvis Landry, we thought, might be headed there. Now Jarvis Landry's still out there. So, and I'm not telling you this is going to happen, but in theory, he could still end up here. Okay? So I know, Joe. I'm just trying to, look, all
They're
I'm
not
going
to pay anybody, guys. They're not going to pay.
All I'm telling you is it's not over yet. It's not over yet.
I know a way that they will find ways, Maz, we can talk about later, but they're not going to pay for it.
Joe, I'm just trying to balance the scales a little bit. That's all I'm trying to do, trying to level it off.
The money scale isn't working.
Okay, so
Maz, now talk about how you're the only truth teller in the market.
Exactly. Yeah, right. I'm the only one who's got a level head and an even perspective. I am fair, damn it. I am fair, if nothing else. But I don't know. I just wonder. I think it's a question worth wondering about. When you look back at it, had they signed just Judon and Henry, save some of that money? And I know I'm asking them to be perfect, but guess what? Bill Belichick drafted like dog food for however many years. He needed to be perfect on the free agent market, especially if he was going to spend jack the next year when bodies are flying all over the place. So, sorry, but they were in a spot where they had to be perfect. Would they have been better off saving a little of that dough and waiting for this market? I think they would have. But I'm curious as to what you think, and we'll get to your calls when we come back on Focus.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The best analysis.
Forget about what's being said. Everyone's ripping someone for something somewhere.
Felder and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tyreek Hill is getting traded to the Miami Dolphins. The return is a first-round pick and more, while Hill will get a contract extension that puts him among the highest-paid wide receivers in the NFL. That's via Ian Rappaport and Tom Pelissero. The Dolphins are making plays. Just yesterday, I believe they spent 5 years, $75 million on Armstead, the tackle, to bring him down to Miami. They bring in, obviously, Mike McDaniel out of San Francisco to become their new head coach. Now they get the most explosive wide receiver in the league on a trade for a first round pick and more, whatever that is. Full picks 2022, 1, 2, 4, and then a fourth and a sixth in next year. That's a lot, by the way.
Jesus.
A one, a two, and a four this year, a four and a six next year. They get Tyreek Hill, Tua gets another weapon, and Mike McDaniel says, hey, we're bringing in Armstead, we're bringing in Tyreek Hill, we ain't around anymore. Tua's our starter, okay? That's the first time we've ever said that publicly. And we're going to go ahead and win this thing.
Then the Pat McAfee crew yesterday. McAfee crew. It's still my favorite soundbite of the week. That whole, the response of what did they get again? What did the Chiefs get for that? They got a first, a second, a fourth, and a sixth. Wow, that's a lot.
Jesus.
That's a real response is what that is.
That sounds like us. That was like me and you, Murray, with the, you got to send Deshaun Watson to Tampa. Oh,
oh yeah. Jesus.
But it was that kind of response. So, again, big move by the Dolphins. And Murray saw something online just a second ago before we get to your calls. Murray saw something online just a second ago that relates to this story further. Go ahead, Murray.
Yeah, so this is Mike Garofalo, NFL Network. He tweeted just a short time ago, my understanding is that the Jets and Chiefs reached an agreement on Monday for Tyreek Hill. The Jets went on to work on a contract with Hill, and then the Dolphins stepped up at some point, and it was only a matter of time after that before it would be Miami. And ultimately, Tyreek Hill decided he wanted Miami once they came into this thing. But beginning of the week, he was going to the Jets.
And
And you thought it'd be a better move for him to go to the Jets.
I think so. In terms of the quarterback, I don't know how you feel about this, Joe. I mean, you know, I know how high you were on the Jets quarterback and how he was referred to as Mormon Mahomes. I just think, like, for fit, if I'm Tyreek Hill between those two teams, which are meh, and the Jets kind of suck, obviously, I would want to play with a quarterback that I'm kind of used to in terms of his game, you know?
Yeah, so exactly. He had a bunch of things to say about Tua today. He was like, oh, he's the most accurate passer in the game. This and that. So Miami, Miami's the better destination, the tax, everything like that.
The Florida, yeah. The
yeah, State but, you know, I liked, I read the gambling stuff and the dark pool is what we call it. Do you guys feel like this Brady thing could be real at some point with Miami?
Well, so Jimmy Stewart said this yesterday, Joe, and then later in the show, he recanted and said that Brady is 100% committed to Tampa this season. Now, could it mean something with regard to next year? Sure. I mean, if Miami goes out and spends all this money, Tua can't do it. Teddy Bridgewater gets some time, and he's not, you know, we know what Teddy Bridgewater is at this stage. Then could Brady end up in Miami for 2023? Sure. Yeah. But I think in 2022, it's Tua's shot first. At least it feels that way. And so, you know, look, but the report Murray just had about the Jets having an agreement on Monday explains why, in part at least, why Miami's offer was so outrageous.
Well,
right?
I mean, I guess every team wasn't. I guess they went to every team and said Tyreek Hill's available. And the Jets had the deal, and somehow the Dolphins heard the deal and beat it.
Well, so right, but this is what I'm saying, is that there was a deal in place with the Jets, and then Miami came back and said, well, no, wait a minute. We'll throw in a first, we'll throw in another fourth and a sixth, and we're willing to pay them more, which is what they probably told Rosenhaus, and then all of a sudden everybody was like, whoa, hold on now. We don't have a deal yet. So in any case, look, it's a blockbuster. And again, the ramifications for the Patriots are huge. And just quickly, before we get to your calls, one more thing. We played for you that Scott Pioli cut a couple of segments ago, where Pioli says, well, the Patriots spent 2 years of money in one market. It was a depressed market. They got good value on those deals. The real reason the Patriots spent that money, as Joe Murray pointed out, is because Tom Brady pantsed them. And along with that, because Bill Belichick drafted like garbage. They had no players to put on the field. So he had to go out and buy it. That's the real reason they spent the money, not because it was some sort of calculated approach to the market, because it wasn't. Rich is in Ipswich. Rich, go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, boys?
Hey, what do you got, Rich?
I just want to tell you, I'm a little disappointed that you were talking about Jonesy earlier. I'm disappointed he's not on the show. You guys had real good chemistry yesterday, and I thought you, him, and Murray got along.
So, Rich, aside from casting the show, what's your point on the Patriots?
Okay, so the Patriots, I just want to say that I'm a little confused as to the off season now. Everybody's been saying, you know, they're doing nothing, and obviously we're doing nothing, but is there any way that we can go through the draft?
Okay, so that's a question. Is it over? Murray, you believe it's over?
Well, in terms of them making the playoffs this year, yeah. If we're going to define over as they're going to be a playoff team this year, I don't believe that they are. I think that they've been lapped by too many teams. I think that they kind of backed into it last year. If Miami got off to a better start last year, Miami ends up beating them out. I don't think that they're going to compete for the division. It's Buffalo. I think Miami's ahead of them right now. And again, if they're going to be fighting for one of the last wild card spots and the other teams are going to be doing those same things, like Miami, like the Raiders, probably the Chargers, those teams are going to be better than them next year. So I say yes, in terms of them making the playoffs in 2022, over.
Too much damage done in the last 10 or 11 days.
Yeah, and I don't trust Belichick and this organization's ability right now to draft and fill all these holes. Like, okay, all the offensive line is now intact because you drafted it up. And they're going to be able to take a wide receiver maybe early that's going to be an immediate impact player this particular season? I don't think so, just based on recent results.
Joe?
They just have to get by Buffalo, right? I know Miami's in front of them and the Jets got better, but...
Oh, that's all they have to do is just get by Buffalo?
Yeah, they just been... Again, they didn't punt against them last year. But, again, Josh Allen could fall on his face. Who knows what happens there? But they've drafted well. They've done well with trades and free agency. And, the Patriots can do well in the draft, though. Like, let's give them credit. They did well last year. You look at the last couple of years, there's some players that have come along here. And I think it's now time to plug and play. You draft a guy, you let him play. Forget about this sit out a year, red shirt, or any of that. But a lot of these guys played right away. And Duggar, look at him now. Look at a lot of these guys. When they play well.
Okay, so I do have a question, though, as to whether or not their draft structure or their internal structure is the same as it was a year ago. Ziegler's gone. They bypass Grow. So... I mean, maybe Bill is in charge of the draft board again. If there was a restructuring last year, I'm not sure it's the same structure. Bobby's in California. Bobby, go.
Two quick points. One, I don't know if you guys remember, but Baker also just had shoulder surgery. He had it 2 days after the season ended. And second of all, I've never been a fan of Mac since day one. And we basically have a lesser version of Kirk Cousins. The way the league goes on, every other quarterback is athletic, can do something else besides, you know, just be an accurate passer. You said it perfectly. Tom Brady was a lottery ticket. We didn't scout him. It was a seventh round, one of the last picks of the draft. That is a lottery. You have to have a quarterback that's more dynamic if you want to do something. And if he's not dynamic, you got to surround him with talent. And what have we done? Offensive line. We just traded the best offensive line we had, and we got a bunch of 3 and 4 receivers trying to be ones and twos.
Okay, so look, again, the shortage of talent is obvious. And since you brought up the offensive line, I'll just mention it quickly because it happened earlier in the day. Ryan Bates from Buffalo, the guard, was one of the players that the Patriots had in here earlier this week. That was on the same day, I think, that we heard all about this, the same day as Leonard Fournette Murray, mm-hmm. right? He has signed an offer sheet with the Bears, so he's out. Okay, the idea that you would bring... Right now they have a hole in the offensive line. They've lost Karras. Trading Mason puts a Wenu in there. They re-signed Trent Brown, you know, but they still have a hole at left guard. So unless I'm missing someone, am I missing someone?
And Joe, just I'm basing this on seeing your tweets about the O-line and then them bringing back Trent Brown. I get the impression you're like, this is the area that you're the most nervous about.
Jim, how many days did we do post-game and Mac Jones got crushed?
Yeah.
And if they're like, wow, if they could just get a line in front of them. So I know the deal is good for Trent Brown. I just don't. They've literally motivating him by money to play, which I don't like. They gave up two of the best guards in the last 2 years, top 10 players, and literally traded and got nothing. A fifth round pick, and handed them to Tom Brady, by the way. And Ueno can just switch. And let's not forget about Wynn. Wynn's in a final year of his deal at $11 million. He has not been a great tackle. So the offensive line is something that should have been shored up this year with the young quarterback. At least if they have put crap out there, at least protect your quarterback.
So, look, that is one of the concerns going forward. I mean, I like Brown when he's on the field, Trent Brown.
The Mason trade. Well, again, as a Brady Bobo, I'm happy it happened. But for, like, the Patriots, like that.
He's the best run-blocking guard in the league.
Right. Well, what are you doing?
Okay. And Joe Tooney before that.
I'll tell you what. That one doesn't bother me that much because I thought they had bigger concerns and they should be able to fill that spot at less than $10 million.
But what did they fill, Nass?
Okay. So, look, again, I like him when I think he's all right. I think that that's a spot where you can get by with something cheaper. That's all. I think their needs are bigger in other spots, Joe. And I understand.
But where have they filled it yet?
I think Wenu's going to play right guard.
No, but the money that they saved.
Oh, they haven't.
They gave it to Malcolm Butler, who is retired.
Okay, no, they haven't spent it yet. I'm assuming they will, which is probably a foolish assumption on my part. So I'll give you that much. But the idea that Mason is gone doesn't bother me a ton because I thought they had too much money invested in the interior of the offensive line anyway. But that aside, Joe Murray will get you caught up on headlines. And there is a popular theory going out there now, too. We heard a little of it yesterday. I see a caller on the line that wants to talk about the Patriots cap situation. I think, again, there is sort of an obvious, easy refrain in the wake of the Tyreek Hill move that Patriots fans want to cling to, and I'm going to tell you why it's bullcrap.
Cheap PR spin, I think, is what the term you're looking for.
Yeah, cheap PR spin, Murray. Thank you. And I'm going to tell you why it's bullcrap when we come back. Here's Joe.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Do you believe in moral victories? A good loss? We'll get them next time.
No silver linings here on Felger and Mazz.
Then you are in the wrong place.
You have to accept that, so we...
Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Every team in the league is forced to make difficult salary decisions. Not everybody can be paid. And when you're paying Mahomes the way that the Chiefs are paying their quarterback, you can't pay Tyreek Hill quarterback money as well. They made the decision, a philosophical decision, to move on there. Now they'll sign a wide receiver in free agency. They'll draft more wide receivers. They have Travis Kelce, and they'll hope that Patrick Mahomes is a great enough quarterback, which we all believe he is, to elevate the play of all these other receivers and have them step forward without having to absorb the cost of the type of contract that the Miami Dolphins are now giving Tyreek Hill.
Adam Schefter, ESPN, as the Tyreek Hill news broke, offering his assessment, which is, I'd say his assessment, a common assessment, that the cap or the financial budget forced Kansas City to cut bait with Tyreek Hill. And I think a lot of Patriots fans will look at that and say, oh, see, they gave Mahomes $45 million, and as a result, they couldn't pay Tyreek Hill, which is a topic I want to address. But I did say there was a caller on the line that wanted to talk about the Patriots cap situation. So let's bring in Tyler in a car first and see what he has to say about it. Tyler, go.
Hey, guys. First time, long time. How is everybody doing?
Good. What do you got?
So next year on our cap, we have overthecap.com, we have $97 million in the cap.
Okay.
So I don't get why we can't just extend a Kendrick Bourne or a Hunter Henry, restructure Judon to make that space instead of getting rid of Shaq Mason. You know what I'm saying?
What you're saying is the Patriots could have done something now, given all the cap space in the future, to create more space now without giving up Mason.
Yeah, exactly. If you want to run it back, let's run it back with the same team at least. You know, give them a shot.
Okay, so I thought that he was going to call up and say, have $100 million in cap space next year, so what are you worried about?
Yeah, no, this is a marathon, not a sprint. We're not worried about
that's what they're selling you guys, everybody out there.
It's a
they're crutch. Like, oh, last year we spent, and this year, you know, it's going to be a little tight, but next year, oh, there's $90 million, and they're not going to do anything next year either.
So the part of it that I love is that the Chiefs effed up. They paid their quarterback too much money, or they paid their tight end too much money. See how they effed up. And this is the one that, you know, again, when you hear Patriots fans start to whine, and admittedly, I will say that this week there's been less of that, Murray. I think Patriots fans are agitated. I think they're frustrated.
They're shook is what they are.
I think they're confused as to what the hell is going on. And so they look at it and they say, well, this is hard to defend. So if you want to look at the Chiefs and say, see? Now I'm doing a Felger. But, they lost Tyreek Hill. See what happens? I would say, well, what happened when Chandler Jones became a free agent? Were the Patriots able to pay him because they managed the cap properly, or did they let Chandler Jones walk? Because they let him walk.
Yeah.
I think they traded him, right?
But
the talk was that, you remember, well, they can't afford Jones and Dante Hightower. You're going to have to choose.
Correct. And at the time, it was, I think we looked at it as a trio, right? It was Dante Hightower, Chandler Jones, and Malcolm Butler.
Correct.
Of those three guys, they weren't going to keep all three.
I know, Revis. It was Revis.
Okay, so they were going to let someone go. And the fact is that the Patriots have let a million guys go because they didn't want to commit to them. And so you can't sit here now and laugh at the Chiefs and say, see how stupid they were for paying people a certain amount of money, when the Patriots have done precisely the same thing over the years. And you know what the difference was and why the Patriots were able to get away with it? Because they had Tom Brady. And now the Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes, and that's why they're going to get away with it too, because they have the quarterback. So Patrick Mahomes will make Mecole Hardman a better player, or he'll make Marquez Valdez-Scantling a better player. And they're received. They'll do it differently.
Don't forget, they have Juju Smith-Schuster now.
Right, and Juju Smith-Schuster.
If he's healthy, a great fit for them.
So they will get him all the weapons he needs, and it won't be stylistically exactly the same thing. Nobody will have the flat-out just breakaway speed that Tyreek Hill has.
Might be better for them because they became a little too one-dimensional that way.
And I would say that actually what happened over the course of – you know when the Chiefs got hot, Murray, you know what happened? Mahomes started checking down and taking the stuff underneath instead of trying to make the big play all the time. So from that standpoint, it might actually help them. Jason's in Vermont on Bill Belichick and quarterbacks. Go ahead, Jason.
Hey guys. So a couple points I don't think anyone wants to admit about Belichick. Guy could never draft. Look at the wide receivers going back 20 years. Absolutely abysmal. He gave Hunter Henry and Jonnu more than he ever gave Gronk in a year, and Gronk's the greatest tight end ever. Brady covered up all the wounds for 20 years. That's why they were always down two or three touchdowns in a game, and Brady had to bring them back. They never were a real juggernaut. And if it weren't for Brady, Bill just, he'd be a footnote in history. And I really believe that.
Okay, so Jason, look, I mean, it's possible if Brady never came along, I suppose that it could have gone down that road. But in the same breath, I think you have to look at it if you're going to be fair and say he got Brady and knew what to do with him. There are a lot of guys who get good quarterbacks that don't know what to do with them and don't win as much as they should have with the greatness of that quarterback. Like, and maybe that's ultimately a reflection on the quarterback, but look at Mike McCarthy. Okay, Mike McCarthy had Aaron Rodgers. Now he's got Dak Prescott. And he still feels like a clown.
Oh, he's a doofus.
Okay, he still feels like a clown. So let's not just turn Bill into some stiff. He's not a stiff. He's not stupid. He's a smart guy that knows how to manage a game, and he knows what he's looking for. But you want to say that his career has been enhanced or amplified. Yes, you want to say that now there is a, you know, he's being exposed on some level. Yes. And I'll come back to what I've said all along, which is I think this is a massive year for Belichick. And I felt that way before all the free agent spending. Mac Jones into his second year after you rebuilt the operation. You can't go backwards now. And right now it feels like they're going backwards. Murray already thinks they're out of the playoffs.
That's right. 11th best team in the AFC.
617-779-0985. I see you all lined up there. We'll get back to your calls when we come back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
At the end of the day, it's still all about sports.
We don't take it seriously.
And whatever's on Jim Murray's mind.
Get over the persecution complex, you children.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Back here on Felger and Mass. Top of the hour coming up here in a little bit. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take some of your calls here. We're going to reintroduce the Celtics at the top of the hour as well. That will be Celtics and Patriots almost entirely for the final hour of the show today. Again, big win for the Celtics last night. Another one. And there are now some legitimate big picture questions, and there have been for a while, but there are some legitimate big picture questions with them as it pertains to the Eastern Conference playoffs, run for the championship, all of that I think are worthwhile and worth getting into, and certainly the Patriots in the middle of an offseason that I think if you were to call it nightmarish would be a gross understatement. So that's where we are right now. 617-779-0985. Jason is in New Hampshire. Go ahead.
Hey, real quick, guys, I got 3 points. One, the team that was built out of that you guys were talking about when they were drafted for Mac Jones and Cam Newton, was it? It was really because they thought Trey Lance or Justin Fields was going to be there, not Mac Jones. Two, this is the second most free agents Bill has ever signed, and let's give him the second year, and let's admit that Bill is pretty smart, that there's an off-ramp in year two for almost all of those guys. And then three, I think they trade Shaq Mason because Isaiah Wynn can be moved to guard, and you've got one of the deepest drafts coming for offensive linemen, and you can draft either the best guard or tackle that's available.
Okay, in terms of the free agent strategy, Jason, let me read something to you from what Chris Gasper wrote earlier in the week. Okay? And let me find the exact part.
Look for the biggest words.
Here it is. Good job, Murray. So, Gasper writes, in Bill, the Crafts trusted. They picked him over Brady, effectively, if not actually. And then he says, Brady's Super Bowl success was an organizational embarrassment. So the directive for immediate improvement came from above. It worked. The Patriots rebounded to 10-7 and returned to the playoffs.
Yeah, but it was just a quick, cheap high.
The directive, meaning that Kraft said to Belichick, I'm going to give you some money and you're going to go out and spend it because you've drafted like garbage. And let's not forget that Kraft himself made that comment. You remember that one, Murray?
Yes, of course.
Where he said, you know, we're now doing what we've marked teams for doing in the past. We'll see how it turns out. But I think the fact that, obviously, Kraft did not take kindly to Brady winning, and that puts the onus on Belichick. He put it clearly on Belichick. Ed Murray.
But once you break that seal, don't you need to commit more to, I don't know, build up the franchise further?
Yes.
Like, that just can't be, again, just like a cheap one-year high and then like, okay, we're done. We countered. No, you didn't.
Right, and that's the thing that Patriots fans should be most concerned about. So, great. You went out and spent. You got to 10-7. Then you got into the playoffs and get your freaking doors blown off. And I mean blown off. You weren't even close. So the hope now is that the quarterback will make enough of a jump in year two that it'll elevate some other guys. You're putting a lot on the shoulders of Mac Jones right now with the roster he has. It's grossly unfair to the kid. Jeff is in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, guys, two quick points. I've heard you guys in the last few days talk about, you know, these short money contracts with Terrence Marshall or Mitchell or who knows, who cares, and Butler coming back. And you guys have said, well, we'll see if they even make it out of camp. They only have, like, 65 guys signed, you know, for the year. So they are going to make it out of camp. Those guys are going to be the ones that are playing. And I think it is a reset year, which isn't fair to Mac. But I guess we'll see what happens with these year two free agents that they signed. And Murray and Big Jim's right. It's over. It's done. You know, let's get the draft pick and let's move on for the future. So thanks, guys.
Okay. So, Murray, this is the kind of stuff I'm talking about. Usually we get Patriots fans like the one we got yesterday. And there was only one or two. There were only one or two yesterday where the guy says, oh, so negative. Can we at least wait until you get past the draft? Well, you know, last year, what were you saying? You're probably saying it was stupid that they spent all that money. Remember that guy?
Of course.
But we haven't had many of those. I think the Patriots are, and I say losing fans, you know what I mean.
No, there's an air of resignation.
Yes. Yes. They're not losing fans in terms of the volume of them. The fans are going to stay there. But, I mean, I think this approach has caused fans to go, this is, they've lost the blind loyalty that they had for a long time.
They've never been here before, Mess.
Oh, my gosh.
They've never been here before. So they still believe in Bill, but now you look at it and say, do you want to believe in that guy? And the bad drafting is probably the biggest part about it.
And so on that, Joe, you mentioned earlier you'd like to see them like draft guys that are plug and play, right?
Yeah.
Which they typically don't do. So if they, so I'm sure you've seen the Mel Kiper mock draft where they take Jameson Williams at 21, you know, good value there because it'd be a top 10 pick if he was healthy. But if they did that, doesn't that indicate that they are kind of punting on the season?
Yeah, but you get a guy for Mac Jones. Like, isn't that the thing? Mac doesn't have a guy. If it's Hunter Henry, then okay, then. But he needs a guy and maybe it's time to develop something. But I think the caller just mentioned the linemen, like the tackles aren't strong, but they are interior. But you can get those guys second, third, fourth round, and they've always done well at that. I'd just like to see speed. Right now they're slow, and if they can get faster at linebacker or a pass rush and just do something to help the offense a little bit more, I'd be fine with it. But will they ever tell us, though? Like the Celtics tell us, the Bruins will tell us. But these guys just, it's one day at a time. Oh, we'll see what happens. We're not going to put the guy in the Hall of Fame now. It's just, can you tell us if it's going to be a rebuilding year, or is this them telling us they spent all their money last year and this year they're doing nothing?
Well, look, Bill thinks he can, he always thinks he can win. He always thinks he can win. And in some ways, it's his greatest strength, and in some ways, it's his greatest weakness. So if Hunter Henry is their most explosive, right, Murray. But look at what the speed that other teams have at the skill positions.
Well, as Joe was pointing out too, just in your own division, that includes the Jets, by the way.
Correct. Yeah, correct. I mean, it's ugly right now. And to his point, the in Bill We Trust factor might be at an all-time low. Andrews in Milton.
Hey, I remember after they beat the Seahawks and they didn't pay Revis, I remember like the Matt Chathams of the world were saying, oh, well, you know, they can't pay Revis because in a couple years they got to pay Chandler Jones, Dante Hightower, and Jamie Collins, and Malcolm Butler. And, well, they didn't even, I mean, Hightower they almost didn't even pay. He went out and met with the Steelers. They didn't pay any of them. I mean, what the heck?
So, you know what, that's what it was, Murray. It was Jamie Collins. It was Jamie Collins, Chandler Jones, and Dante Hightower. How do you pay all three of them? You're going to have to let one go. They let two go. Then they let Butler go on top of it.
They let him walk.
So, well, right, and I say let go, but this is what I mean, Joe.
They've let them all go, though. That's the problem. So they've got nothing in return for any of these guys.
Right, there was a trade for Chandler Jones, but they didn't pony up to keep any of those guys other than Hightower. So if Patriots fans want to sit there and then look at the Chiefs and say, we'll see what happened with them and Tyreek Hill, well, how is that any different than what happened here with Chandler Jones and with Jamie Collins and who's the other one I said? There was another one.
But Brady never made $40 million a year.
Let alone the quarterback. Thank you, Joe. Thank you for reminding me. I forgot about the quarterback. Yeah. Talk about the freaking burying the lead. Anyway, no commercials here. Top of the hour. Joe Murray will get you caught up on the latest developments. The Chiefs have signed a receiver to replace Tyreek Hill, at least in part. Joe will tell you who that is. We'll reintroduce the Celtics here into the discussion because there is no hotter team in town. And frankly, maybe no team in town that is closer to a championship. I think we can say that somewhat safely than the Celtics. We'll do that when we come back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.